You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll say something in Russian to kick us off. Just kidding. I don't know anything.
You didn't learn any Russian while you were there at all?
I learned thank you.
How do you say that?
Спасибо.
Oh, sounds cool.
And then I just said comrade a lot, and then people were offended.
I'm sure they loved that.
Greetings, comrade.
Okay, here we
KGB,
go.
KGB, huh?
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm joined by a panel of fantastic-looking guests. Our first, a man who's so buff, his gym is the only one in San Francisco who's now paying him to attend. That's right, the Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey.
We've got a man who...
At the gym today, I can barely move.
That's what I like to hear. We've got a man whose beard is so luscious, lumberjacks everywhere envy him. That's right, Buster Heine is here.
Hey, man.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks
joining
for
us
me.
Back from Russia. He successfully stole the microfiche. Alex Excelsior here.
Comrades.
Hello, comrade. Welcome back.
Спасибо.
I'm excited to hear about your Russian adventures. You've been gone for how long, Alex?
About 10 days.
10 days, I see. But before we do all that great stuff, I want to thank our sponsors, FreshBooks. You guys have heard me talk about FreshBooks, of course, the simple online accounting solution built for small business owners just like you, just like me, who want to skip the headache at tax time. You know about that, Leander, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, it's terrible. For a limited time, you can try FreshBooks free for 60 days. 60 whole days. To get started, visit getfreshbooks.com. And there's a section called How Did You Hear About Us? Go ahead and just toss the Cultcast in there if you would. That lets them know that we sent you guys, and we appreciate that. And then also I want to thank DigiDNA and Mac Update for sponsoring the show. If you guys haven't heard me talk about it, we're having a Cultcast Live at the Macworld in March. It's going to be a big event. All the biggest stars are going to be there. And I'm pretty sure Tim Cook's going to show up. I can't confirm that. I won't deny it. And Eddie Q's probably heard of it. Maybe he's thinking about attending. We don't know. I've never talked to him. But I want to thank DigiDNA and Mac Update for sponsoring the event. We're going to have an open bar. We're going to have a great venue. And we'll have some tickets to give away. And I do want to mention, if you've never visited deals.macupdate.com, every week they do a bunch of great software deals. And they give like insane bargains on software, really popular software. And this week they did a discount on one of my favorite applications called Little Snitch. Have you guys used it before?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
awesome, right? Helps you manage your network traffic, allows you to block applications that are using the internet or allow them, and also lets you see what's actually using the internet. You can get Little Snitch on deals.macupdate.com right now for only $20. It's normally $35. So it's like 43% off. And like I said, they always have
it's a really good little deal.
Yeah. In fact, I just paid... And you guys are going to be surprised by this. I actually just paid $20 to buy it yesterday.
Whoa.
I did not get it for free like I'm sure Alex did.
Yeah.
I actually paid for the application. So,
noob.
I'm probably going to email them and swing a deal. But I was like, you know what? $20. This app deserves it. It's a great app. Deals.macupdate.com to check out software. Guys, I want to mention really quickly before we hop in that we have really great fans. I know you guys know that. And I don't just say that. You know, everyone says that. I really mean it. Because we interact with a lot of you guys on Twitter. You guys are really interactive with us on Facebook, which we really appreciate. And we need your album art. If you guys haven't sent an album art before, we use it on the iTunes episodes. So people see your album art. Lots of people see it. And if we really like it, we put it on cultamac.com. So if you would, send those to airfon@cultamac.com, or you could ping them at me on Twitter. I'm at airfon. Just make sure they're 1,400 by 1,400 pixels. And I would love
preferably
to see
have me in them.
Preferably, it's a preference, Brownlee. Though. It's optional.
Definitely optional.
No, just put John in.
And also, thank you to everyone who has left us 5-star reviews on iTunes. We haven't mentioned this in a long time, but we have really excellent iTunes ratings, which helps us a lot. And we appreciate everyone who's left us 5-star ratings in their countries at our iTunes store. And if you would do that for us, boy, I would just be so grateful. We just really appreciate that so much. And if, you know, you don't like the show so much and you want to leave it a 1-star, maybe just send that to me via email. You know, don't leave it on iTunes. Just send it to me personally, and I'll respond to you normally with lots of cuss words and try to set you straight.
My favorite rating is, if you're a douche, then this is.
Did someone actually leave that? Alex, are you still there? Is anyone still there?
The Russians have cut him off.
Dude, he was talking some trash about his experience in Russia before the show started, and I warned him that Putin was going to have him murdered.
I know, yeah.
Oh, especially, didn't all the cell phones and MacBooks get hacked in Russia, too?
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, they were talking about that before the games.
Did they really? Is that true? They hacked the phones?
There was like a lot of, I didn't really read about it, but it was like before the Olympics started, there was like a big NBC report that computers and stuff like that were getting hacked in Russia once you plugged them into the internet.
Wow. Especially with journalists, I bet.
Yeah, for journalists or something. I can't remember if they found out that story was false, though. They might have.
Alex, you there?
Yeah.
There you go. Could you hear us?
Yeah, something. I think my internet just crapped out for a minute.
Oh, man, we thought the KGB had you whacked.
Yeah, they come. They'll come knocking, for sure.
Yeah, after all the bad things you were saying about some of your Russian experience. So, hey, great segue, though. You were in Russia covering the Olympics. Yeah. Had a few vodka shots, I'm sure. Any stories you care to share?
It was really interesting to see. I mean, I guess it's because it's Sochi, which is kind of their more resort town. It's kind of like their southern Florida, but their iPhones everywhere. All the Russians had iPhones, even though they're super expensive. Everyone had iPhones and iPads. I mean, I barely saw one Android phone the whole time I was there, which is great.
I knew I liked those Russians.
But when I was in the International Broadcast Center, which is where all of like the NBCs and CCTVs and all the big networks do their production, we got to meet with a guy named Matt Millington, who used to run. He actually designed BBC's live video app experience for their sports network. And the Olympics has hired him away to make their like secondhand screen experience, so their official app platform. And we don't see it in the States because NBC has paid for exclusive broadcast rights in the States. But the Olympics themselves actually have this really nice, slick app platform that they're licensing to countries for like $80,000. And NBC paid $5 million to design their own app. They didn't want to go with the Olympics one. But this, it's really cool because it's what they're doing is they're licensing live HD footage of the games to countries that normally wouldn't be able to get any footage at all because they wouldn't pay for the hefty traditional broadcast licensing that NBC pays for and big networks like that pay for. So it's like $80,000 to get this app and then have it tailored custom for your country. So like, for example, he showed us one of this Finnish company had bought the app, and they were putting their, you know, watermarks on the footage, and they had their own, you know, Finnish app based on this platform that had, you know, stats about the Finnish players and highlights from games that Finland was in, and all the live HD footage. So it was like a DVR experience on the iPad, and you just download it in the App Store in Finland. And they have it in Arabic for a bunch of Arabic countries that are paying for it that can't afford the, you know, traditional broadcast fees. So they're doing some really cool stuff with that.
Did you see anyone get murdered? Did you have any vodka?
Were there any dogs?
Dance with any Russian dancing girls? That's all great. I was expecting some more exciting news here. Did you steal any microfiche? Like, what happened?
The Russian dancing girls did happen.
Oh,
did you wrestle a bear after drinking a pint of vodka with some...
Well, so I'm in this restaurant, right? And so we think it's a restaurant. Apparently, it turns into a strip club at midnight.
Apparently.
It's at the hotel.
Much to my surprise.
So, I mean, it's really weird. It's got log cabin walls, really nice Italian fine white cloth table sets, strobe lights, and a deer head hanging above the wall.
Oh, sounds great.
With live music, with like a Russian ballad singer doing this really jazzy live music. So probably the weirdest environment already that I've ever eaten in.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and then randomly, so we're sitting there eating and they're playing really low key, you know, kind of like smooth music. All of a sudden, the lady starts announcing something in Russian really excitedly. People start clapping, and then these three, like, I guess what are the equivalent of Russian go-go dancers and like thongs come out and start doing this dance.
That's what I'm talking about.
In the middle of the restaurant. And the one comes up to me and puts her like boa around my neck.
Ooh, saucy.
That's to get me to stand up with her. I don't know what she would have done to me.
Did you spit your vodka all over the table?
I was so taken aback by the experience. I just sat there and took it all in.
He's sitting there with his shirt unbuttoned, bottle of vodka in one hand. I'm moving to Sochi.
Next to that, probably the most memorable experience was also seeing Putin up close.
You got to see him up close? Yeah. Was he fully dressed?
He was fully dressed and very short. Very, very short.
Oh, really? Well, you're pretty tall, too. Is he like normal height?
No, he had to have been under 5 feet.
What?
Dude's a midget.
He's four foot ten.
Ridiculous.
Dude, you're just digging yourself even deeper now.
He is so short.
When they kidnap you to kill you, they're going to torture you first. I'm just going to let you know that.
I don't know if y'all saw the articles. He visited the U.S. house, and I was there about to go into the U.S. house when he pulled up in his motorcade, and we got blocked off. Everyone couldn't go into the house anymore, and like all of a sudden, like 100 security people swarm the place and create this like ring around the house, and people start
ring around the Putin.
Yeah, ring around the Putin, and all these old Russian women and spectators come up wanting to get a picture, and all these Russian women are on their phones blabbing about it. And it was right next to the Canadian house, and so there's a bunch of Canadians out there too, and these Canadian girls have flags painted on their cheeks, you know, on their face, obviously.
Well, they're Canadian. Yeah. That goes without saying.
And the Canadian flag draped around them. I don't know if they're wearing anything under it. And they're screaming really loud. And so when he comes out of the U.S. house, he goes into the Canada house. And I was literally 2 seconds away from getting into the house. I would have actually, like, probably been able to shake his hand. But
he probably dodged the bullet,
reach down that low.
But when he left the Canadian house, apparently I didn't see it, but I talked to the girl afterwards because she was jumping up and down and screaming. But one of the girls that was draped in the flag with the flag painted on her cheek, he like came up to her and like hugged her and then caressed her cheek with where the flag was. Like,
saucy. Like,
caressed his hand over it. And she was losing her mind because she thought he was super hot or whatever.
I mean, look at the guy. That's an obvious statement.
So, yeah, it was really, she just kept screaming, Putin, touch my cheek, Putin, touch my cheek.
So did you eat any of the food there?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it like?
It was, they're really big into crepes. I don't know if that's a European thing or if that's just a Russian thing, but the crepes are, you got pork crepes, you got cherry crepes. I mean, any crepe you can imagine is like their.
How about pork and cherry?
Pork and cherry. No, they didn't have that, but that's like
if you can imagine that, that's not one they have.
Did you smoke any of those crazy Russian cigarettes?
No, I didn't see any, actually. I mean, I didn't see any crazy looking ones. I don't know. Do they look different?
Yeah, they have like a long tube, like a tampon applicator, and then there's a bullet of tobacco at the end, and they pinch the tube
really
to create a filter.
Weird. No, I didn't, but ate a lot of the food and had some Georgian too, which was really good. But I mean, there's so much food there because from all the different countries, but the Russian food was, I don't know, they do breakfast really weird. I mean, it was like peas and carrots and stuff at breakfast, and I'm like, I want Cracker Barrel.
How did it go down being an American over there? Were they friendly?
They are very friendly. I mean, they Americans have a much more hostile opinion of Russians than Russians do of Americans. And
it's because they're always the bad guys in our movies.
Yeah.
They've got a bad rap.
Everyone,
you expect
I talk
them all to have machine guns.
Everyone I talked to was just so interested, wanted to, you know, keep asking questions about America, said they wanted to visit there, you know, it was like their top place to go
and stay.
I mean, all of their monuments in Russia have Americans in them because of World War II, you know, when we were allies. Wow. So they think very highly of America.
Did they ask any funny questions?
I'm trying to think. Somebody asked me... Mostly just like really random ones, like how our police system works. And I was like, well, it's less corrupt. We don't have that.
How much do you bribe an American officer? Well, when I came here to America, they asked me, you know, Americans used to ask me a lot of crazy questions about England. Like, do you have fresh vegetables in England?
Well, do you?
Actually, we don't. They're all boiled and put in a can.
They don't keep their dairy refrigerated like we do in America and Europe. So, like the yogurt for breakfast had been sitting out for like 3 hours. I stayed away from a lot of the dairy. But probably the funniest thing I got asked was from a University of Moscow student who's like 18, and he was asking me about like American cinema and movies and who was popular, like the hot actors. And he said that. His favorite actor, someone who's really hot in Russia, is Rob Schneider.
Really? The comedian?
The animal? And
yeah.
Silly movies?
That's like Jerry Lewis, but not France, isn't
it? He's like a god in Russia?
Yeah, like Rob Schneider.
He's definitely the right height.
He was like, oh, so you know Rob Schneider and Eddie Murphy.
Oh.
It was in the Oval movie, the gigolo thing, right?
Gigolo. But this University of Moscow student loved like Eddie Murphy and Rob Schneider and just really random, like, you know, early 2000s, late 90s comedians.
Yeah. I wonder if they're just now getting those movies. Like, have you seen Beverly Hills Cop? We just got this movie. It's amazing.
Oh, he said Simpsons. He said it was like
we it's really like, have it good guy. As far as movies are concerned here. I mean, anytime you travel, I mean, Hollywood is where a lot of the major movies come from, obviously, right? So, and they take a long time sometimes to kind of trickle into these other countries. Sometimes you'll go and they're just like getting The Hobbit for the first time. And like the original Lord of the Rings movies,
A lot of Russians don't speak English at all, I noticed. In Sochi, especially, I thought that a lot of them would be pretty good at English because, you know, a lot of it's taught in schools there, but still, a lot of them don't know English at all. They don't even know how to count. And so like,
it's strange, isn't it, in a Russian speaking
country? It's very strange. But, they know phrases, though. They know phrases because of American music and American movies. So even though they don't know how to have a conversation, they can pick out certain things based on what they, you know, what they listen to and what they, and I was talking to the student, he said, we listen to all American music. And I'm like, well, doesn't it bother you that it's, you know, hard to understand? And he goes, well, it's different in Europe. We listen to the melody, whereas Americans, you know, like to like words, and they, you know, words have more meaning. But in Europe, it's mainly just the melody. So yeah, a lot of interesting conversations. There's this app called iTranslate where you can speak into it. And
I
then
think that was one of Leander's favorite picks.
Yeah. Right. I had an hour and a half conversation with a Russian man from Siberia with this app.
And it actually worked out well for
it
you?
It worked beautifully.
Wow.
Absolutely. He had. I'm thinking of actually writing something up on it. But he could not speak English hardly at all. He was okay at it, but he wanted more practice. You know, I was the first English person from America that he had ever spoken with.
Wow.
And we were having trouble communicating, and I pulled out this app, and he started talking into it, and it translated it. You know, pretty much 99% of the time, it was accurate and very fast.
Did you get some video of that? You should have got some.
We
video.
Did. I've got video of it and stills.
Oh yeah, totally write that up.
I'm gonna write it.
That sounds like a great post.
That's incredible.
And it was such an enlightening experience. Just to, you know, I got his email address. We had lunch together.
Wow.
Are you gonna be pen pals now then?
Well, just like I just would have never, you know, it would have never gone past hello if I didn't have that app.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was really cool. Really.
What
cool.
about? Did you try it on the Russian strippers?
The music was too loud.
The music. Yeah. We didn't do a lot of talking.
They were just. Yeah. They weren't really talking. They were.
You're choking on the feathers on the boa.
Jubilees everywhere. All right. Well, hey. Thanks for sharing that, Alex. We should probably move on to some Apple news this week. What do you say, guys? Let's do that. Let's talk about let's start with this. Square just released a updated card reader. If you guys have never used Square, it's a really great card reader that you can use for your iPhone and your iOS devices that lets you take payments. The only reason I bring it up, Alex, you were like, why are you going to bring this up, dude? There's no story here. Is because I'm a big fan of Bono's One Foundation. And, I'm sorry, Red Foundation. And Square, he's got so many foundations, it's hard to keep track. And this one, when you buy this Red Square reader, they give like $9.74 of every purchase, which is, you know, almost the entire purchase, to the Red Foundation, which goes to help people with AIDS in Africa. So worthy mention. That's the only reason I wanted to bring it up. So if you use Square and you need a new card reader, you can get the Red one, and some of the money goes to the Red Foundation. Leander, you're going to be excited about this.
Oh, yeah?
Apple's bringing the South by Southwest Festival. I'm sorry, the iTunes Festival, rather, to South by Southwest. I know you're a huge fan of the iTunes Festival. You always talk about it every year.
Well,
this is a great reason to send the Cult of Mac team to Texas, in my opinion. And it's going to be free. If you guys are in Texas, if you're going to be going to Austin or Texas or anytime soon, you can sign up for free tickets on Apple's website if there are any left. Yeah. And I guess they're having the performances at the same place as Austin City Limits performances. And do you guys actually know the date? I don't know when this is. Sometime during South by Southwest.
March 11, I think.
Okay, that's when the festival kicks off.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is besides the free tickets, is if you can't go, they're going to be streaming the entire event.
I don't know if that's a good, you know, the free tickets thing, like the ones in London, you know, they got what they ended up doing was getting a bunch of people who weren't fans of the band. And I think it totally ruined the atmosphere.
Oh, really? You know, because like, people just showed up because they could show up?
Yeah, and they would be standing, they'd be like, who are these guys? You know, and they
wouldn't stuck at the Pitbull concert or something, you know?
Or like Leander at the
that would be amazing. I'm gonna shave my head and borrow Alex's white suit in honor of that performance.
Yeah, or like Leander at the Kendrick Lamar performance at CES.
Right. Yeah. My daughter was really jealous about that. And I was like, this dude.
I was jealous. Buster and I would have been going hard.
Yeah.
He was absolutely awful.
That was the same show where he made out with Dr. Dre, right?
Well, no, I wish. They were waving. But that would have been
Don't
fun.
Kill my vibe.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, if you are a music lover, definitely check that out. Let's talk about WhatsApp, guys. The app that no American has heard of, yet just sold to Facebook for about $19 billion in cash and stock. I honestly don't know anyone that uses this, but whenever we do the show, I always get people pinging me, and they're like, WhatsApp's amazing. I use it with all my friends.
I didn't see it in Russia once.
Like with Filipino friends, I know a lot of them that use it to text with their friends that are back in the Philippines, because then you don't have to pay for international texting rates or anything, you know?
So, Buster, right. If you would, I mean, I'm sure there's people who don't know what it is. Can you describe what WhatsApp is?
It's really just like a simple messaging app, you know? You sign up friends. It's all you add contacts with like your phone number, and then, yeah, you can just set your status and send messages to one another.
It's kind of like iMessage, but for everyone, right?
Yeah, exactly. It works on Android, iPhone. I think they are all like on Windows too. So
BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of platform agnostic.
So is that the draw, that it's like iMessage, but it's platform agnostic? Because like iMessage was great in Russia because most people I know had iPhones, so I could use it and I didn't need to get, you know, texting or anything. But I guess if you don't have a lot of people with iPhones, then you want something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And it works with Windows phones, with Blackberries. I mean, they have apps available for like every platform. I think the big question is, though, why the heck does Facebook want WhatsApp? Because from what I was reading, WhatsApp's not going to change at all. And they've always been very big on not funding their app with advertising. So,
right.
Sorry,
it's just like their philosophy is completely different than Facebook's as far as like monetization.
Yeah,
goes.
They're going to jam ads into everything, right?
You're kind of like, how is that going to work out philosophically, you know, for those companies? I think it's interesting. I think like 19 million is just such a huge figure, though.
19 billion.
It is.
Billion. Like for like when they're not making like any money, you know, they charge people 99 cents per year, like after you've used it for 1 year. And that's their only revenue generator.
But if they have 450 million users, right, and they're charging them each $1 a year, I mean, that's $450 million a year.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Growth, stay on.
Their growth graph is crazy.
Yeah. Well, aren't they like three times the size of Twitter?
Twice, I think.
Wow.
They're going to be bigger than Facebook within a year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is maybe why they bought them, you know?
It's like it's mobile, it's global, it's engagement. People are in this app all day, all night, and all day.
What's interesting to me, though, is because Facebook Messenger is such a huge thing, and so many people use that. Like, all my friends, you know, actually use Facebook Messenger. I don't use it, but
I do too.
Like, so how does that work with Facebook Messenger? Because right now they're saying WhatsApp stays independent, but, you know, why not merge that somehow with Facebook Messenger?
I think you probably have to think of Facebook now more as like a conglomerate of mobile apps rather than just a one-time experience. I mean, I think the best benefit for Facebook, for me personally, is just like Facebook login. Like all these services, you just use your Facebook account to sign in. Oh, yeah, everything.
Really?
But Instagram doesn't even do that, though, does it?
Yeah, Instagram does it now.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Uh-huh. And so it's like, yeah, they have like, I think they're just kind of thinking of these companies as like little separate islands to make money off of.
Because Instagram has pretty much stayed independent this whole time in terms of like brand identity.
And then they just use like engineers and Facebook's backbone to like help it grow faster.
And man, they've got an insane team, don't they? And with bringing these WhatsApp guys on, but like they already have like, you know, original iPhone designers and like so many Apple people and so many Google people that they've poached and the people that made Paper.
The WhatsApp guys supposedly all both of them applied for jobs at Facebook and didn't get hired.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I think I got laid off from Yahoo.
That's hilarious.
Luke has a good post too on the site about how it was the app was created sort of by accident. They're actually trying to do something else, do status. You know, you could broadcast your status to people in your contacts book, and they were going to shut it down. I mean, they weren't really getting anywhere with it. When Apple added notifications to app notifications in iOS 3, I think. And they started looking at what was happening, and people started joking. His Russian friends were joking around with it, saying, you know, hey, I'm on my way, when he was in Moscow. The other guy's in Mountain View. Exactly. And they realized pretty quickly that what they created was this messaging app. And so it kind of came out by accident, and thanks to notifications in iOS.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Only 10 engineers, too. Sorry, I wasn't sure you were
done. You didn't sound very interested at all.
I was hanging on every word.
Thanks for saying that.
I was hoping you were going to continue on that train of thought. But only 10 engineers, too. So really insane that you could build a company that large with only that many people to develop. But in any case, we definitely want to continue on. We got some stories about Johnny Ive, which Buster and Alex are very excited about. We want to talk about an iCar, a.k.a. maybe Apple and Tesla getting together, doing something special there. And we're going to do an all-new Faves and Raves, too. We should have mentioned that at the top of the show. That, of course, the segment where we pick our favorite apps and tech, and then vote on which one's best. But before we do that, guys, I want to give a shout-out and thanks to our sponsor, FreshBooks. Oh, my goodness, do I like FreshBooks. Everyone here uses it, and it's so easy to use. And especially around this time of year, if you are a small business owner, I feel for you. Because taxes are the worst, aren't they? It's worse than getting tortured in Russia. They're so boring, and they're so awful to do. And especially if you haven't kept yourself prepared. Well, the great thing about FreshBooks is it makes hunting down receipts, digging through invoices, you know, going through every record one by one, just totally gone. They make the entire process simple because throughout the year, you're using FreshBooks, you're tracking your expenses, you have pictures of all your receipts, and they have all these great apps on iOS devices for you to use to keep track of your actual business expenses. So when the time comes, you're ready to do your expenses, it's as easy as tapping a few buttons in FreshBooks. And boom, all your stuff is available. You can send it to your accountant, and he can take everything and actually do your taxes for you. I think the hard work, Leander, wouldn't you agree, is actually keeping track of everything? throughout the year.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because once you have that, nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And once you have that, like you're pretty set. And FreshBooks is the simple cloud accounting solution that people who have to do their taxes love because it makes it really easy. It also lets you take and create professional invoices. Because let me tell you one thing I learned about clients: if you don't invoice them, they don't pay you very often. And yeah. you know what they really hate is when you invoice them 6 months after you've done something for them, and then you send them a bill. They don't like that either. FreshBooks lets you keep all your invoicing on time, so you actually get paid faster. And you know, thanks to FreshBooks, I'm going to be doing my taxes with ease next year.
Yeah,
because I wasn't using it all of last year, and my financial tax situation is just a big mess, just like I'm sure yours is, Leander. It's just a nightmare.
Oh, so, it is. It's been weeks working it out.
Yeah, exactly. So this next year, I'm going to be on the front end with FreshBooks. Go check it out. Go to getfreshbooks.com. Enter the code CULTCAST in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That way they know that you heard about them through us, which helps us. And, you know, make your life more simple. And you get to try it free for a limited time for 60 days. So there's not really any reason not to try it, I don't think. Okay, guys, let's move on to a huge story. Johnny Ive has vanished. Alex, care to elaborate?
He's back.
Oh, he's back. So apparently it was big news for about 15 seconds this week that Johnny Ive had vanished from
that
the
long
Apple executive page. And there's a lot of people who were making a big deal about this. But Alex, tell us what you think happened.
I think that he quit. And Cook cried and begged him on his knees to come back.
Come back, y'all.
And all of this so transpired much. Within about 20 minutes.
Okay, because I thought you were going to say that maybe it was just a website glitch.
Oh, I guess it could have been that.
I like your explanation more, but I think what actually happened is it was just a glitch. And it's crazy that people notice this stuff so immediately after it happens, isn't it?
People must have.
There's services that you can monitor a web page for changes, and then it'll send you a notification.
Yeah. So people have.
People don't sit there and literally refresh the page all day. It's like a.
You
script.
Know what?
I don't know. The 9 to 5 Mac guys do.
They might do that.
I think that's all.
Gurman, he's all over that refresh button. So, it was probably just a web glitch. Johnny Ive is still a member of the company. His profile page was actually still there the entire time. He was just removed from the index of Apple executives, so his picture wasn't sitting there next to Tim Cook's and Eddie Q's and stuff. So if you heard people freaking out about that, just tell them to chill. Put your hand out, spread your fingers apart, and just tell them to chill.
And did it have any effect on Apple stock? Sorry, Alex, what was that?
He was just asking me about my hand comment. I don't think so, Leander. I didn't. If it did, it was very
short-lived. The stock is like down like slightly, but I don't think it's because.
If it had actually honestly happened, this would be like the hugest thing since Steve Jobs passing. Don't you think?
Oh, word.
I mean, that would really worry me. When Johnny Ive decides to leave, I'm truly going to be worried.
Yeah, cry.
Yeah, I will cry, and that's when the Windows cast gets started. Or the Android cast becomes official happens. So nothing to worry about there. Let's talk about something that I thought was kind of interesting. Elon Musk mentioned in a comment on
The Real Life Iron Man
on CNBC, was it?
I love Bloomberg Elon Musk. TV.
It was what?
On Bloomberg.
Oh, was it on Bloomberg? Okay.
He really is our. He really is the world's Tony Stark.
He is, man. He's awesome.
He's
he
great.
He should be CEO of Apple.
Well, no, you're not the only one that thinks that. So, Elon Musk is the CEO of Tesla, the automobile company, which I think is going to take over the world in a matter of 4 or 5 years. And they make electric cars. And there has been rumors that he has been talking with Apple. And of course, the question is, what have they been collaborating on? And a lot of people kind of thought maybe Apple was thinking about buying Tesla. And I want to read you, I think, one of the primary reasons why people believe this. Steve Jobs, besides wanting to build a better camera, had been noted as telling his associates that he wanted to create an iCar. And he reportedly told New York Times reporter John Markoff during a meeting prior to his death, of course, that he wanted to take on Detroit. So people were thinking maybe this could be the way they do that, you know, buying Tesla.
Uh-huh.
Elon Musk has since come out and said, Buster, I think you wrote the piece that he didn't think this was going to happen, right?
Well, he kind of like dodged around it actually a little bit. Like, he confirmed like Apple and Tesla have been in talks, but as far as an acquisition would go, he said it'd be really difficult. In another interview, he said it would take a lot of cash, which
Apple has.
Yeah, Apple has that. And I think like as far as like the two companies' like philosophies, it might work well, but it would be a really weird merger for Apple to buy Tesla, you know?
Mm-hmm. But if anyone is making cars like Apple would make cars, it's Tesla.
Yeah, it's Tesla. Right? Oh, but probably what might come about that is like a battery plant. Apple's, you know, of course, really interested in like lithium ion batteries, and so is Tesla. So like there's talk about the two companies and a few others collaborating on like a big battery plant factory in the U.S. or something.
Alex, go ahead.
The rumors were, you know, yeah, the rumors were picking up because it was reported that the head of like Apple's acquisition department met with Musk, and like, so that was,
you know, what they were talking about.
What?
It was about Tesla poaching a bunch of Apple executives.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they've been picking up Apple stuff as left and right.
Right, because they took like their hardware engineer.
Yeah. Who's, like, well, right, and it's also. I mean, this is all speculative. I read this somewhere, but something like this, that Tesla's working on some really cool battery technology,
mm-hmm.
You know, for their cars, obviously, but, you know, battery technology that the world really hasn't seen. And obviously Apple and any other tech company would be interested in something like that. So that's also potentially something. I definitely don't think it was about buying Tesla at all.
I mean, how would that even work if Apple bought Tesla?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, would Elon Musk become CEO of Apple? Because I would kind of want that to happen, actually. It'd be awesome.
He seems like he would be a good fit, right?
He's, I mean, like, so flamboyant. And, you know, Tim Cook's really great at running the company. But, like, as your figurehead, you kind of want, like, somebody charismatic that people, you know, flock to.
And he gets shite done. I mean,
yeah,
the guy,
he's just a genius,
helped
too.
He helped co-found PayPal. Correct me if I'm wrong here, guys.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
And he used his
PayPal's one of my favorite companies.
Yeah, right. Well, it was probably good when he owned it. And then he did Tesla, right, which is a huge endeavor. I mean, taking on this kind of behemoth car infrastructure that we have in the United States and all these old-time manufacturers who've been doing things the same way forever. And then also, what's his
SpaceX.
Rocket? SpaceX. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building like commercial rockets to take stuff into space. It's incredible how much this guy is getting done. So he seems like he'd be the right guy for like an Apple CEO type position. And he obviously is able to be CEO of four or five companies at one time.
At once.
Why not add another one, right? Toss Apple on there as well.
Plus he's got like other things like that. Tube thing that the Hyperloop or whatever built. Like,
that,
I mean, he's doing all these things at once.
That was just a hobby too, right?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not even going to do this. I don't have time.
I'm going to toss this idea out there for free if anybody wants to pick it up.
Build a vacuum rocket that will transport you from one place to another
in 20 minutes
from LA to New York in 15 seconds. Just go ahead. Here's the blueprint. I drew this on my kid's homework on the back, and
I drew this on a napkin in the restaurant.
On a napkin. He did say to your comment earlier, Buster, about the battery plant. He was on CNBC and he said, "I'm very excited for our plans for the biggest battery plant in the world, which they're planning to do in partnership with other companies. They're going to be talking about it next month, I guess. So maybe we'll know more details then about whether or not they're going to be working with Apple on this. But it's pretty cool. I mean, from what I read, this factory that they're building." They're trying to build the most advanced lithium-ion batteries in the world. This is going to be one of the biggest factories, and it's going to be totally green. So next door to this factory is going to be the facility where they will be recycling batteries that people don't need anymore. And he said there's going to be almost zero landfill, and they're really building it in like a green way. So it could be good for Apple and Tesla, right? Because they both are so battery-dependent, and those components are so expensive for both of them.
Yeah,
and arguably in electric cars, it's one of the most expensive parts are those batteries.
And the heaviest, yeah.
And the heaviest, right. So if they could get those down in cost, I mean, electric cars would definitely take over. They're just amazing to drive.
Yeah, and also like for Apple, like, you know, iWatch, you want like long battery life with that. You want, you know, they need to power bigger displays, more consumption with like CPUs and stuff. So it's a huge investment for the future for both of them.
Agreed. So maybe they got something going on there. Okay, let's wrap up with this, guys. An all new faves and raves and faves and raves and
raves.
Raves. Russian version. This is, of course, a segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. We also let you guys vote on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Who wants to go first? Alex?
Sure, I'll go.
You want to do it first? All right. Yeah. Give us something good. Give us something juicy.
Well, this is one of the apps that helped me survive in Russia, where the language is unreadable by English eyes. And it's called World Lens. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but
yeah.
It's one of the trippiest, coolest, like how in the, like sci-fi voodoo type apps that I've ever used, because it actually works. And it's so basically it's like augmented reality camera where you hold it up to a sign in another language and it translates it there. Whoa. Through the camera into English or another language. And it keeps the font and the styling of what you're looking at, but you're seeing it in a different language. I mean, it's totally trippy.
Wow, that's really crazy. How much is it?
It's the app is free, and to get language packs, I think each language pack is like $5.
Okay.
So I got the Russian one, and it works landscape and portrait. And I mean, you literally just hold it up to a sign, and instantly you look through the camera, and you're seeing English. I mean, it's I'd never used anything like it.
Is it good for driving though?
No, you need to be
only if you tape it to your face.
No, you need to be standing still, and the text needs to be, you know, legible, pretty big is nice, you know, nice clear background, you know, contrast helps. But like for looking at a menu or something like that, it's brilliant.
Huh.
Really helped a lot with like street signs and stuff like that when I was.
Was there a lot of people using it, or was it just
No, I didn't see anybody else
using
it.
Only the savvy ones.
Yeah, nobody was as savvy as I was, but I converted a couple people. But yeah, very cool app.
What was their reaction when you showed people?
Like, what? That's so, you know, basically what my first reaction was, like, that's so trippy. You know, that's crazy. It's like, you know, sci-fi voodoo type stuff. So
yeah, it's magical looking.
Yeah, it's really magical. It's because it's just how it just works. But yeah, really cool app. Check it out.
I remember when I traveled, I've been to Europe several times, and we didn't have any of that stuff. You get a book, you know? That's what you had. And you had Rick Steves' picture on the front.
You had a book?
Yeah, a book. And you would walk around with this book and try to figure out where the hell you were, where you were going, and you had these things called maps. And you didn't get to, like, change the direction or the orientation of the map unless you churn the whole map with your arms. And, man, the kids today have it easy.
It beats a pocket dictionary any day. I saw people walking around with those, like trying to translate stuff, and I was just holding my camera up like suckers.
Yeah, I mean, our biggest challenge was speaking to the foreign ladies we met, and you have like a freaking real-time translator app.
Exactly.
While you're there to speak to all the ladies and understand the signs so you know where you guys are going to meet later. It's
exactly.
Okay, Buster, you want to go next?
Sure, man. Mine is just a simple game called Threes.
I've been hearing a lot of buzz about this game.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really, it's addictive, but unlike Flappy Birds, it kind of like requires like some thought and like skill. Basically, it's kind of like a mashup of like Sudoku and puzzle games. You kind of combine different numbers to get bigger scores, and you move these tiles around strategically on your board until you can't make any more moves. It's $1.99, but like I've played it a ton more than I've played Flappy Bird already.
Did you guys see that video of that kid who got to 1,000 pipes in Flappy Bird?
Oh yeah, I did see that. Oh my gosh! Right?
I think we posted it on Cultimac. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It is incredible. I mean, this guy goes from 920 to 1,000, and there's a really special ending that I won't spoil when you do that. Can you believe the pipes at those levels? I didn't realize the game got harder.
It was a joke.
You've never gone.
I never got past like 20. Yeah. Was it actually a joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Oh, it wasn't real?
No.
You jerk. I was like, I've never seen a kid flap it like this.
Oh, dude, it like this that kid video deserves gets crazy. Award. The pipes come sideways and stuff.
So that doesn't actually happen.
No, it doesn't actually.
It just
happen.
The game just stays the same.
Yeah, just the whole way.
Stupid. Stupid video. Don't even bother looking it up. Leander, you want to go?
Okay, yeah. So I got some new, you know, I've been hanging out in the gym all night and day these days.
Yeah,
and so
pushing around the buff lesbians.
Fighting. Wrestling. And bench pressing them too.
Yeah, well, they like that kind of activity.
So, yeah, you know, like one of the big things was like getting a pair of earphones that would stay in my ears, my sweaty ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sent some by Audio-Technica.
Yeah.
And they have these strange, like, they call them C-clips, like these little C-shaped rubber protrusions that actually, you know, go into the folds of your ear,
mm-hmm.
and hold the headphones in place. And, I've always had a problem with in-ear or canal phones, you know, or in-ear headphones. Like, they're always uncomfortable. But these are really comfortable. And you can wear them for a long time. I was, you know, I've been surprised about that. The sound's okay. It's not, you know, it's not amazing.
Yeah.
But the comfort thing is a huge difference, and the fact that they don't fall out, they don't move at all. So they're actually pretty good. And they're $60. Mm-hmm. I think there's like they have three or four in the line. They're called Sonic Fuel in-ear headphones, and they have an inline mic. Huh?
Is the main purpose to like just kind of hold the earphones in your ears when you're sweating a lot? Like that's like.
They're not even their sport ones. Yeah, they're designed to stay in your ear and to make them comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you know, having tried a lot of in-ear headphones, you know, it actually does live up to the to the billing. You know, it does what it does. It does what it says it does, which is actually stays in your ear and stays and is fairly comfortable.
And you said they're called Sonic what?
Sonic Fuel.
Sonic Fuel.
In-ear headphones.
Okay, cool. And you said they're about $70?
These are about 60. They have like three in the line. The top of the line ones are about $100, and then they have some entry-level ones that are about $50, and these are sort of in the middle. I think they're $60.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Mine is an app that I just discovered. And for those people with a media PC or like a PC on your network somewhere, I think you're really going to like this. It's called HippoLite, two words, L-I-T-E. And what this app does is it allows you to convert your iPhone into a mouse and a keyboard for any computer on your network. It works for Macs. It works for PCs. So, you know, if you're not at your computer, you can actually power the computer on, which is amazing. So my media PC, which is on my network, I can hit a button on my iPhone, and by the time I come to my living room, my PC is up and running because it activates the power button via network somehow. And then also you can control the mouse and keyboard, like I said, so you can log into your computer. And you can also do the same on your Mac. I'm using the Lite version, as I mentioned, which is free. So you don't have to pay anything for it, which is great. They also have a pro version, which removes the ads. I'm not sure how much the pro version is, but the light version has a lot of features. I don't really know why you would want to go pro. I guess if you just wanted to remove the ads. In any case, Hippo Lite, I think it's a worthy winner. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Who cares about a virtual reality app that can translate, you know, foreign signs in real time?
Okay, well, let's vote. Leander, let's start with you. Who do you think wins the gold this week?
Well, it's got to go for Alex. So I've seen the app, and it is absolutely amazing. But, of course, you don't have much use for it here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I guess down in Chinatown, maybe. I haven't actually tried it down there. But,
actually, that's a
good
point, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Buster?
Oh, I'll go with Alex's.
You know, Alex, you're going to win because I'm voting for yours, too.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
It took a trip to Russia, but I finally won.
I was just imagining all the extra conversations I could have had with the apps like that when I was traveling. Oh, my gosh. Just amazing.
It totally. I mean, I'm working on a post about how it totally my iPhone broke down the language barrier. Like, everyone else had no idea how to communicate, and I was able to do it pretty well.
I mean, that's truly incredible.
You were like a boss.
Like a boss. I mean, Apple should make a commercial out of me is all I'm saying.
That would actually be a great premise for an Apple commercial, I think.
Yeah, I've got footage of me talking with the Siberian man, and it would totally make a good Apple commercial.
I just love that you were talking with a Siberian man. Like, how often do you get to meet? Did he just have the biggest beard you've ever seen?
No, he was pretty clean cut.
He was?
Yeah, small businessman owner named Anton.
Oh, he wasn't dressed in animal furs.
Rasputin. Yeah.
He wasn't wearing long robes. He didn't look like Rasputin.
No, he didn't.
Well, my mental image of what people from Siberia dress like and wear their facial hair like has been totally altered in this conversation.
Wait, just for the heck of it, so because I already won, but what was Buster's again?
Buster's?
Threes.
Yeah.
That game.
Oh,
threes.
Yeah, I would vote for Buster's because threes is fun.
I think I'm going to download that as well. Well, for those of you who have been listening and stuck around to the very end, good for you guys. You can head on over to our Facebook page if you want, facebook.com/TheCultCast. And we're going to put all the entries up there, and you can vote and tell us which one you think should win. But anyway, guys, we should wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. But you know what? You can always come converse with us in your native language on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Leander's L. Kinney. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Buster's B-S-T-3-R. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. How do you say next time in Russian?
I have no idea.
Zubzijash.
Zubzijash. We just offended the whole nation. Thank you. Now I'm going to get killed, too. Oh, at least I'll be with Alex.
Tonight we'll be taking a look at the pros and cons of dating Vladimir Putin. Oh. Because he and his wife just announced that they're getting divorced after nearly 30 years of marriage. That means he's back in the market, ladies. So let's take a look at the pros and cons of dating Vladimir Putin. Here we go. Pro, he won't disappear after spending the night. Con, you might. I mean, you gotta watch out. Go watch out for that guy. Pro, seeing Putin get struck by Cupid's arrow. Con, seeing Cupid immediately get taken out by a Russian sniper. Sad. Pro, he's got a big heart. Con, he ripped it out of a bear he once wrestled to death. He's an animal, this guy, man. Does that for fun. And finally, pro, playfully asking, is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Con, hearing him reply, gun. That is the pros and cons.